promenade across the floor. Says she right on out the door and into the glade, and everybody promenade.
You're tuned to the Square Dance Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, August 10th, 2011.
And you're listening to the Do-Si-Do Show, episode number 11. We had a little bit of a problem with the numbering last time, but we think we're back on track. This is number 11.
Congratulations, Barb, on the first 10 shows.
And you, Dale. Isn't that something? Wow, where'd the time go?
I know. Well, I'm your host, Dale Hodge, from Columbia, Maryland.
And I'm Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. Hello, Square Dance community. And here we are again with another great Square Dance caller on our program. It's a lady from up north, eh? She's alternatively known as the good twin or the evil twin, and you've met one of those on our program. Ann Ubelacker is joining us today.
I cannot wait to talk to her.
She's a lot of fun.
For those of you who have heard and listened to the show before, we record this at 8:30 in the morning Eastern time, and Ann lives not in Eastern time.
In the Pacific time zone, 3 hours earlier.
Up in Vancouver. But when I talked to her, she said, oh, I'm up that time every day.
We'll see, right?
Oh, okie dokie. So, Barb, what did you do this past weekend?
I have had a full last week. Started with the Cirque du Soleil show that's in Chicago called on Wednesday. That was quite spectacular. I had a big 35th anniversary party for my new boss on Friday and a dinner and square dance hosted by Bill and Barb Klein last night. So we danced every level from advanced through C3B with no C2, but everything else and only one square.
That's great.
But different people, yeah. That was fun. How about you, Dale? Do you have a good weekend?
I had quite a weekend. last week I bought Callie, my youngest daughter, a car.
Ooh.
And then drove from the car purchase directly to a dance in a Philadelphia suburb and called there. The next night then called in D.C. and then Baltimore and Massachusetts. I did get to play games on Sunday, so all worthwhile. Had a fabulous time up in Sturbridge, Massachusetts. Just hayloft steppers. Hi, everybody. Who would you like to say hello to, Barb?
Okay. I got a little shout out for Michael Maltonfort. He's a newish caller in our area, and he actually called some C3B for us on just like 3 hours of notice. So thanks, Michael, and fun with dancing with everybody last night.
Great.
How about you?
Well, with traveling to a lot of the different clubs, I've noticed that the club officers pretty consistently help keep things running very smoothly behind the scenes. They step up and are the treasurer and will be there to take money, and they take care of issues that come up with the building or the space or, last-minute caller or keyword changes and whatnot. So big thanks and props to the club officers who keep things running so smoothly.
Nice. Yes. Amen.
So our interview today is with Ann Ubelacker. Barb, do you have any experience dancing to Ann?
I do. In fact, she was one of the first callers from out of town that I danced to in an advanced setting here in the Chicago area. And let me tell you, that was a long time ago. And I came away from that dance with a couple of new areas of respect. I had never heard or danced live to a woman caller before. And the other thing was the quality of her voice sounded like a bell to me. I loved her singing voice and her patter. It was amazing to me, and I just thought, she is in the right profession.
Wonderful.
And I've danced to her many times since then and really enjoy it.
Great.
And I know you know her too, right?
I do. When I was very young and just starting out, she helped me, gave me a couple of pointers. I remember when I was young and stupid, I remember thinking that it seemed like she was reading a lot of the material that she was delivering.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, well, she's reading and I can psych call and aren't I, all that. Well, I have since learned that it's not about what you do behind the scenes. It's about the delivery and your interaction and the entertainment with the dancers. And she really helped me to learn. It was a painful lesson for me to learn, but she really helped me to learn that that's what's important. The dancer's experience is what's important, and not how much time you spend behind the scenes reading or preparing, or how, you know, how you deliver and what you do up there, but just so. And I've gotten to work with her then many, many, many times, and we've become good friends. So I'm really looking forward to today.
Yeah, that's great. Good lesson learned.
Yep. Painful, but good.
Nah.
So again, our guest today is Anne Ueblocker from Vancouver, British Columbia. Hi, Anne.
Hey, Gail. How are you?
I'm fine.
Welcome to the program. Woohoo!
Oh, well, thank you very much, Barb. Nice to be here. Thanks for asking me.
And thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. We'd like to get to know a little bit about you outside of calling. Where are you originally from?
Originally born and bred in Peterborough, Ontario, Canada. It's on the East Coast, in the humid part.
That explains where you got your beautiful voice.
Yeah, that's it. Sure.
Maybe the folk had something to do with that.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. In fact, I laugh about that because my parents wouldn't let me sing happy birthday with the family.
No.
Because, they would ask me just to mouth the words and, oh, really, don't sing. You don't have to. It's okay.
Aw. Everybody can sing happy birthday.
Yes, badly, but yes,
aww,
it's true.
Well, how did you change that or turn that around? You can sing now.
I can now, but... I don't know. Maybe just as a child I didn't have the confidence, or I just was a bad singer. I don't know. But even now I don't think I'm a singer. I don't belong in the group of singers. I managed to fake my way through nicely and just learned over the years how to do that.
All right. Very good. So, Anne, please tell us a little bit about your family.
Sure. Well, it's pretty easy. I have a mother and father. That was about it. And me. I was the only child, parents of British descent. My mother's Scottish and my father is English. And they had 5 miscarriages, all boys, before I came along.
Wow.
So see, if they started with a girl in the first place, they would have won. But no, they had to practice first. And ballroom dancers, my father had, still does, at 89, he has his own band.
Wow.
And I thought at the age of 5 or 6 that every kid spent Saturday and Sunday in their parents' band playing with them at dance halls. So
that's what you did.
That's what I did every weekend.
Wow.
And that and rolling up the carpet and in the house on a Friday night and having people over and dancing.
Wow.
So that was the start of my square dance career, I think.
Music and dance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was a teenager was when I had a rude awakening that other children didn't do that on weekends. They actually had a different life than I had. But it was fun.
Was there any rebellion, but did you go out and sow your wild oats during your teenage years and not stay in the band, or did you go ahead and play in the band all the way through?
No, I played all the way through. As much as I pretended as a teenager to hate it around my friends, I really did like it. So that was the truth of the story.
That's great.
And I loved dancing with my dad. Tenor sax.
Oh.
And I also played an accordion, but I don't tell many people about that either.
And now the world will know.
Yeah, nobody but the 3 of us and a couple of other tens of thousands of people that can listen to this. By the way, you better take that accordion to your next weekend. People are going to ask you.
They better not. Although one year at the Honky Tonk Queen contest, Bob Young knew that I played. And he had somebody in Vegas bring an accordion.
Oh, no.
And made me play it at the Honky Tonk Queen contest.
Awesome.
Yeah, you got a lot of good friends, don't you? And of course, at that time, nobody knew in the square dance world that I played except for Bob Young. Well, then everybody in Las Vegas knew.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, you have kids?
I have one son, Todd William. He just turned 25.
Wow.
And I know. That
I doesn't
make me
when
older.
You was a baby.
Yeah, me too. Oh, he grew up. I didn't.
I was going to say, you're not nearly old enough to have a 25-year-old son.
Thank you, Dale. Brownie points.
Does Todd dance?
Not anymore. He did for quite a while with Squares Across the Border. We went to a couple of the teen clubs when he was about 10. And he watched for a bit. He says, yeah, that looks okay, but they're not having half as much fun as Squares Across the Border. I'd like to dance there.
Mm-hmm.
So he started, and he danced with this one fellow in particular who was really good at keeping him going, and discovered very quickly that he liked to do all the twirls and flurls. And so Todd would dance as a girl, and then he decided, no, he needed to dance as a boy as well. Well, this was all in one night, mind you.
Wow. Wow.
And he would sit on the sidelines when I was doing the challenge levels and just do his homework. And then one night he was sitting there and he jumps out, fixes the square in front of him, and sits back down. I said, Todd, you can't do that. These are adults. He says, well, but they were wrong. I said, no, you can't fix them. And besides that, that was C2. You only dance mainstream. He says, Mom, I sit and watch them every night.
Aww.
Wow.
So he danced up through C2 for about 3 years. And then, being a little older, he had a life of his own and decided to do other things. He still likes it. He enjoys the people, and he goes with me quite often on weekends just to hang out and say
hi. Good.
Yeah.
So we haven't lost him yet. There's still
hope. Oh, no. Not at all. Yes. Oh, he'll be back.
Did Todd ever call?
No. No, that was one thing he never wanted to do. It's not that he doesn't have the personality, and he's got a way better voice than I do, but it just wasn't his thing. He just liked to dance, he said. And it's not that he's shy. Can you imagine?
That's good. That's a good thing. So what got you involved in square dancing?
My parents. I had moved to Toronto by this time. They still lived in Peterborough, which is about 75 kilometers away. And I would try to go and visit them, and they were never home. I said, so where are you all this time? And they said, well, we've taken up square dancing. Okay. That's kind of hokey, but okay. You know, parents, they're older. They do things like that.
Right.
After about 6 months, I still hadn't seen them. They were doing campouts, and they were going all over the U.S. and Canada. And I found this one place where they were going to be that wasn't that far from my house. So I drove there for the weekend at a campout. And lo and behold, oh, we need somebody in our square. Would you come and dance? Well, I don't know how. Oh, that won't matter. So that was the start. I was there for the whole weekend, and I got the bug and started dancing.
And so how did that start you in clawing?
Well, I met a fellow, Dave Johnson, and his wife, Jean, that had said to me one day, don't you think you'd ever like to go and call? And I said, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I really would. But the caller for the club I belonged to told me that women weren't callers.
Ah.
And he looked at me and he said, well, I can't teach you to call, but I can teach you about choreography if you're interested. I said, yes, of course. And then about 3 weeks later, I found out there was this whole almost occult in Toronto called Challenge Dancers. And he took me out there one night to watch. And I think I was probably, all of 10 minutes before I decided that's what I wanted to call.
Wow.
That other stuff looked way too easy, so this is what I want to do. Now, mind you, I'd only been dancing 6 months at that point, so what did I know? So that's how that all aspired.
Wow. I do have a question about what you do outside of square dancing. I understand you're pretty involved with animals.
Yes, I am in my spare time. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
I work at a vet hospital with 5 other vets, and we have 26 employees. We work all on small animal, although we have one vet there that does do exotics. is just a great family group. They asked me if I would come and work for them again after many years off. And I said, well, I still have this other career, and here's my calendar for the next 5 years, and do you think this will work? So they said, 5 years? You know what you're going to be doing for 5 years? I said, well, yeah. Wow, we don't even know what we're doing next weekend. So I said, I'd love to come and work, but this is what time off I need. And if you can deal with that, then sure, we got a deal. So they looked at it and they said, yeah, we can work with that. So for the last 4 years, I've been back working supposedly part-time, but it's usually 4 days a week, especially during the winter, 10-hour days. So that's kind of full-time now.
That's kind of full-time, yeah.
Kind of full-time, yeah.
I would say so.
That's what I do in my spare time. So I've got two great jobs that I absolutely love. So, you know, how much better can you get than that?
Well, that's terrific. Now, how old were you again when you started calling?
Three.
Two.
No.
Yeah.
I was 30-something when I started calling.
Really?
Yeah, and I hate to tell you what age I am now, so then you'd know how long I've been calling and how old I am.
Well, I know you've been in a time machine and you're 29 now, so that's how that works out.
That's correct. Thank you. Go with that.
Now, let's see. I remember when you were Ann Redden.
Yes.
And you had these badges with very large, poofy hair.
I did.
I don't have one of the badges myself, but a friend of mine showed me his badge and wouldn't let me touch it, but just said, you can look at this, but this is a keepsake. I want to make sure I have this forever.
It is a collector's item, you know. I mean, it's antique.
Yes. Someday the Smithsonian will call. And then you met Joe Ublocker. Was he a caller when you met him?
Yes, he was a very well-established caller when I met Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I actually met him at one of the first Toledo conventions many, many years ago. And he was already an established caller of at least 10 years. I think probably closer to 15.
So the two of you, did you do a lot of calling together when you were married, or was it mostly just separate?
We did a fair bit of calling together, but we also had a lot of standard dates that we did separately. It was difficult to do because we both had such different styles, and sometimes it doesn't work well when you've got two extremely different styles. But as far as the singing calls went, programs that were mainstream and plus with singing calls were great. He was very easy to work with as far as that went, unless he yodeled. And then I wasn't going to yodel, so not my thing. I just can't make my throat do those things.
I was going to ask, was that anything that you ever attempted?
Oh, yes, I attempted many times. Badly, but I attempted it. Todd could yodel before I could.
Oh, very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, even at age 3, he could yodel and his mother still couldn't. So.
Aww.
Uh-huh.
I recently saw a flyer with both your name and Joe's on it. So the two of you are still friends and still working together?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. We have the 25th anniversary coming up for Triangle Squares. We both started calling there. And he's continued to call for them. Excuse me. Through the rest of the time when I moved out west here. And, yes, we're friends. We probably weren't for a little bit of time, but I think that's to be expected.
Yep.
But it was also a period of time in my life, too, when there were some major changes in my lifestyle. So, and he was great with that. So I have to thank him for that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty supportive.
So, Ann, I understand you've had a little trouble with your voice recently. Is that coming along, or what's your situation, if you don't mind sharing with us?
Well, it's as good as it's going to be, I'm afraid. I have some nodules on my vocal cords, and I did go and see if I could get them removed surgically, and they're in such a bad place that they warned me that I could lose my voice totally.
And we don't
and I decided that, well, a lot of people would be really happy because
no,
I couldn't talk
a
much.
Lot of people would not.
Outside of calling, I mean.
So.
But, no, there's nothing that they can really do. And I just have to take care of it. And what I have left is what it's going to be. I mean, years of abuse because I didn't take care of it. And now I'm stuck with a situation that... I sound like Sandy with half a dozen cigarettes, but
but you are twins after all, so
we are. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Oh, hey.
So
hello.
We have a surprise caller on the phone today. Hello, can you tell us who's dialed into the phone?
Hi, this is Sandy Bryan.
My twin! Hey, girl!
Hi! So how's your interview going?
It's going very well. They haven't passed anything really bad yet. Although they did ask which of the twins was the evil one, and I said you.
I beg
your pardon. We did not.
I'm the oldest, not the evilest.
Well, I'll
we
take oldest over
the-
evil.
We want to hear the discussion of the who between the two of you of who's the good one and who the evil one is.
I told you she's the evil when she turned me black.
I know. I did. And I've never been able to turn her back.
Right.
Can we hear, I don't know that I can get just one of you talking at a time, but Anne, can you tell us the your version of the origin of the good and evil twins?
Oh, certainly. Trying to think, was it Portland, Sandy? Originally, we were booked for a weekend.
No!
And
didn't we start this in NACC? Joe started this.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was.
Because you're 4 months apart.
Yes, well, you know, we, although we're twins,
yeah.
One was born sooner than the other, you know.
Right. Always are.
Well, anyway, let's go back to Toledo, Ohio. And, of course, we never drink home or dancing. We had decided that we were going to take a tea break in the afternoon, and we discovered that there was a lounge at the top of the university campus. So the two of us had gone up there, and I must say, we ordered a beer and a pizza because it was $2. And how can you turn that up?
Really? Yeah.
Wow.
And it was a rather large beer, I will say, wasn't it, Sandy? Like,
yeah.
96 ounces?
Yeah, very big.
Maybe not 96 ounces, but close.
That's a long time ago. That's why it was only $2, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right, yes. It was a long time ago. And we were sitting there. Sandy looks at her clock, and she says, hey, aren't you calling in 5 minutes? I'm oh, my gosh, yes, I am. So we downed the beer because after paying $2, you do not want to leave it.
No.
So
good beer.
We downed them. It was really good, expensive beer. So down we go and into the C3 hall. And on the way down the stairs, I was thinking it was kind of a bad idea to have dumped that beer down, but I had, so there you go. Sandy gets into the front square, and she's dancing, and I find that it's a little difficult to get my mouth to work the way I want it to. But I'm surviving and pushing my way through. And I said, the girls extend, and the girls turn black. I mean back. And the whole room is watching Sandy. And she's looking at me with these great big eyes, and she says, okay, so what y'all want me to do next? The entire room fell apart laughing because they weren't sure if they should or not at that point,
right.
Waiting to see what Sandy's reaction would be.
Hey.
So we go and we tell Joe, you blacker, and he looks at us and he looks at her and he says, well, why didn't you just tell her to turn right around?
Nice.
And off we go, laughing again. So ever since then, I've been the evil twin that turned my sister black, and I've never been able to turn her white back. So there you go. So that's the true story.
And
the sister thing actually. started at NACC because we were the only two females on the staff. And Joe was there. And so we came in the very first day, and both of us at that time had curly hair. And so Joe looks at Anna, he looks at me, and he looks at Anna, he looks at me, and he says, okay, so now I can't tell you apart. So we started laughing. So that night, unbeknownst to either one of us, both of us went back to our rooms, and I guess the next morning washed her hair and decided to straighten it. So we come in this day, both of us have straight hair. And Joe looks at us and he says, I'm really having problems trying to figure out who's who. And that's how the twin thing actually started, is that we looked like twins, quote unquote, according to Joe. And it just has progressed over the course of time. Tell the Portland thing with the shirts, and that's where that came from.
Yeah. And that was Richard Kinnaman that came up with the shirts, wasn't it?
I think so.
Because he had us in for a weekend together, and they advertised it as the twins.
Huh.
And he made up these shirts that on the front said good twin and then evil twin, and then the other one was reversed. And he gave us these shirts. And then partway through, Sandy looks at me and said, quick, turn your shirt around. Well, easy for her. She's tall. Her shirt doesn't tuck in very far. My shirt tucks down to my knees. So it was quite a comedy act as we're trying to haul my shirt out and turn it around, and it's just gone from bad to worse right from day one.
And we were doing that on the stage while we're calling.
Yeah.
When we first exposed the shirts, when he handed us the shirts, he just handed us bags. He said, pick a bag. And so we both grabbed a bag. She comes out with the shirt, and they're folded at the time. And hers said, good twin, and mine said, evil. And I said, wait a minute. And so he said, turn them around. So we pull them out the package, and we turned them around. And hers said, evil, and mine said, good. And we started laughing.
There you go, yeah.
So we stand on the stage, and we had on jackets. And we stand on the stage, and we're telling the story about the twins or whatever. And they said, so you can tell us apart. And we figured out how you could tell us apart. And we opened the jacket. And the floor starts laughing. They look at me, of course, and said, I knew you were the evil one. And I said, turn the shirts around. So we pull our arms out of the shirts and spin the shirts around and put our arms back in the shirts. And everybody on the floor started laughing. That's where the good evil thing.
Yes. Very good.
And it's just gone from there over the years.
Yeah. And now we have four shirts?
Yes, we have at least four shirts that are different, all different.
Right.
What does that one say? I can't remember whether I'm the good twin or the bad twin.
Mm-hmm.
What do the other ones say?
One I know we had, John gave us, that was a printing company that actually is named Evil Twin Printing.
That's right, yes.
What's the one that Kathy just gave us? The black one.
It has
evil something or other on the front, and the word has horns out of one of the letters that looks like a devil.
That's right.
What that says. But yeah, we go to conventions every year, and they just expect us to do something. So we come out with these different shirts, and you know, we do a whole hour together of the good and evil.
Yeah,
that's
fun.
I was mentioning earlier that I have two buttons that say, you know, one says Sandy at the top, one says Ann at the top, and then it says good, evil, twin, and depending on which one I wear, you know, it's got a circle through the evil or, you know, a cross out through the evil for Ann or Sandy. And Kathy makes me wear the appropriate one at the appropriate time.
That's great.
Yeah.
I don't even know who made those up. They appeared. what, a couple years ago?
Yeah.
And somebody I know from Chicago had them made up. I don't know who. Probably just as well. And it had the cross through Sandy as being the not the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, the other ones came out, and it had me that was not the evil one. So, I mean, all these people have gone along with this for so long.
Yeah.
And it's just grown.
Yeah, and we do a lot of weekends together, and so it always comes to pass that either somebody has a button, a pin, some comment comes out. One of us does something on the stage, and they say, well, we knew you were the evil one, and it just goes on and on. It perpetuates the situation.
That's great. Well, Sandy, thanks for jumping in. We're going to finish the interview with Anne, but I thank you to the twin, whichever one you are at that point.
You are more than welcome. Thanks for calling, guys, and enjoy the interview.
All righty, bye bye.
Good to hear you, Sandy.
Okay, bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.
How did you get her up that early?
That's the first thing she said to me in the text. Are you just seeing if I'm awake? And then I, because all I said was hi. I didn't want to, you know, give this long explanation. So anyway,
that was great.
So yes,
she was the evil one.
Okay.
Now we know.
Okay. Okay. But all the votes.
I have the last word today.
That's right. Today.
All right. We were having so much fun with Anne that the interview ran twice as long as usual. This is the end of part one. You can hear the second part of the interview next Wednesday, August 17th, 2011. So, Barb, this coming week, what do you have coming up?
I'm looking forward to a mini vacation. I have a square dance weekend out in Northern California this coming weekend, and
great.
I'm going to spend a couple days with one of my square dance buddies after the weekend, so I'm looking forward to that. How about you? What are you up to?
This evening we're going to something called Clown Cabaret here in D.C. There are a number of clowns or people that have graduated from the Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Clown College.
Clown College,
And about 10 or 12 of them get together on some Monday nights and perform. And then this weekend I get to go to a Philadelphia Phillies game with my mom. She drives down about 2 or 3 hours to the game and sees all three games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh.
And Kathy and I are going to get to drive up on Saturday and spend the day with her and then go see the game. So we're really looking forward to that. Yep.
Yeah. And this is Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois, signing off. Bye, Dale. Have a good week, everyone.
And this is Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland. Ciao, Barb. Happy dancing, everybody. See you on the dance floor. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.